Good morning and good afternoon. This is Ismail Dwiri speaking. Mr. El-Khetani apologizes because he had a last-minute emergency, but we are here, the four co-CEOs, because as you know, there is a new co-CEO that was appointed during the board meeting of September, Mr. Talal Bellaj, who is also the Chief Risk Officer. We are also with Mr. Rashid Khetani, CFO, and the whole investment relation and accounting team. So I assume that you all have received already the main document, and I would like to go through the different topics and then leave as much time as possible for the questions. Maybe the first point about the macroeconomic environment, I won't go through all the figures, but still mention the fact that the biggest, geography for us remains Morocco, and that Morocco's economy for the non-agricultural GDP is very linked to three countries, France, Italy, and Spain. And because growth is accelerating over there, but still very low, we've been seeing a progressive acceleration of the economy of Morocco since the fourth quarter of 2013. And this also explains why the projections for Morocco are progressively accelerating. As you can see on page 4, we have moved from 2.3% in non-agricultural GDP in 2013 to a projected figure that will be above 4%, probably even higher than the 4.1% that is presented to you. The inflation is also very low, thanks to probably some part of deflation that is being imported, and to the fact that the currency remains stable. As you know, it is pegged to a basket of euro and dollars, heavily geared towards the euro. The other important point for Morocco in 2014 is the fact that the liquidity situation of the financial market has improved significantly, both thanks to an improved balance of payment and also to an improved budget situation. This improved budget situation has also pushed the yield curve down dramatically in 2014, as you can see on page 6, with the yield curve having moved down between 130 and 220 basis points over the year. Government debt is continuing its growth, but the government is also making the right use of the international financial market. The stock market has posted a better performance than what we used to see, with a 5.6% increase of the index. However, volumes continue their decline with a 20% decrease over 2014. The second biggest geography is Tunisia, where the same story is happening, probably with a lower level of growth, and we see a progressive improvement of the growth profile of the economy. However, inflation is much higher at approximately 6%. And the currency is progressively depreciating, so you will see also on our account that there was a negative impact of the depreciation towards the dirham of 4.3%. In Senegal, growth has been at 4.5%, so an acceleration compared to 2013, and inflation was negative, which is again probably the result of imported deflation. So these are the most important geographies. The outlook for 2015 in general for all the countries of presence is positive, with the exception of Central Africa, that is going to see a slight decrease of its growth rate. So in 2014, the region where we are, which is EMCCA, grew by 4.9%, and expected growth in 2015 is 4.3%. Now, the Moroccan banking industry, as you know, we've lived a period of low growth, both in loans and deposits. However, in 2014, we have seen an acceleration of the deposit market thanks to this improved liquidity situation with growth of 7%. However, we continue to see a very sluggish loan market with the growth of the whole industry only at 2%. Now, if you zoom on the 2% on page 10, you will see that retail loans have accelerated, have started re-accelerating in the second half of 2014 with 12-month moving average growth increasing from 3%, which was the historical low in June 2014, to 7% by the end of the year. But on the other hand, the corporate loans continue a very low growth situation with even a negative situation between December 2013 and 2014. We can come back to this situation later during the questions if you like. The other important thing that happened in the industry, in the banking industry, is since 2012, a rebound in terms of risk and NPL. So while we were in a situation where NPLs were improving and growth of loans was diluting the base of NPLs, since 2012 we have lived the opposite situation, which is, I think, a combination of a number of factors. The first factor is simply the slowdown in growth of loans. So it is a mechanical result of this slowdown. The second factor has to do with the European situation, where a number of companies had invested and increased their capacity in 2007, between 2007 and 2010, and find themselves in a situation where markets has slowed down. They also found increased competition in the domestic market coming from European companies, in particular Spanish companies using Morocco as a nearby market to a little bit compensate for the slowdown in their own market. And then there is also another factor more related to the real estate market, where prices have stopped increasing and are even slightly decreasing year on year, with the global index slowing down by 3% in the past 2 years, which created a situation where the sales of houses have slowed down, and it was compounded also by more cautiousness coming from the authorities that deliver permits slower and are more and more, I would say, picky about the administrative situation. So it has created just a slowdown in the sale profile, but no big systematic or concentrated risk. I think this is probably, you know, the most important thing. It has touched the whole industry, and for Attijari Wafa Bank, we remain approximately 200 basis points lower than the national average. And this is just the bank in Morocco's NPL. Now, we can move to the IFRS consolidated statement. And first, acknowledge that despite a slow growth in the assets and in particularly in the loans, we were able to post a significant growth of the net banking income, mostly thanks to a very good year in terms of trading, as we will see, that we continue our focus on cost management and continued improving our cost income, and able to post a double-digit growth for the gross operating income, and that translated into a 5% growth of our net income group share. We continue our efforts in terms of recruiting new clients with over 500,000 new clients included in our perimeter. The distribution effort continues, although a little bit slower than before, because we adapt and we constantly monitor the profitability profile of our branches. And the headcount has grown approximately in line with the distribution network at 4%. Now, as I said, the cost income on page 14 has significantly improved, reaching 43.7%. And the cost of risk has deteriorated also significantly, moving from 0.7 to 1.13. And this is a result of a deterioration both in Morocco and in sub-Saharan Africa. And maybe you can turn to page 39 to understand this movement better. As you can see, for Morocco, we have seen a progressive deterioration from a previous level of approximately between 35 and 40 basis points to the current level of 1.15. The outlook for that is probably an improvement in the future. We can't say by how much and when, but we consider the 115 level as a level that reflects the deterioration that we have seen recently, but does not reflect the situation that we saw in the second half of 2014. And then you can see also that for the international retail banking, it's named here BDI, but it should have been IRB. The situation is more irregular, and it's really the reflection of the fact that many of our balance sheets are concentrated and that shocks happen more often than in Morocco. And also the fact that in 2014 we had the combination of four different effects. The first one happened in Tunisia, where, if you remember, last year we told you that we had a negative cost of risk and that things would return to a more normal situation in 2014. And then we had three different countries, Senegal, Mali, and Ivory Coast, where the cost of risk is not in the normal long-term trend situation. So all this combined also created pressure on the cost of risk. However, as you can see, for the specialized finance companies, we remain at a very stable level of 70 basis points. Now, we can go back to page 14 and also look at the 113 basis points as the result of a deterioration of the NPL ratio by half a point, but also as an improvement of the coverage ratio from 64% to 68.5%. This is again the result of the very proactive approach that we have towards risk, and the fact that we have noticed a slowdown in the collection of bad loans compared to previous years. So IFRS imposes us to review all the time the models and add provisions if there is a slowdown in collection, but also the reflection of a watch list increase, and an increase also in the probability of default the way we see it. So basically all our models are back-tested all the time when we look at recent figures, and we'd rather show the movements in the cost of risk than have a particular shock in the future. But there was no major single reason for this deterioration in the cost of risk. Now, the results of these are a slight decrease in the ROE with 14.6% and a stable ROA at 1.3%. You have also on page 16 a long-term view of the whole profile in terms of growth, in terms of efficiency ratio, cost of risk, and returns. What one can infer is that we remain very focused on improving the efficiency ratios, and every time you have seen an increase, it was due to an acquisition where we needed to integrate less efficient companies in our perimeter, but that we continue our permanent work in improving the efficiency ratios. I can direct you in particular to page 38 so that you see what is composing this cost-income ratio. And in particular for the International Retail Banking Division, named here BDI, that since 2011 we've been improving this ratio, and our stated target is to go below 50% for this particular division. For the rest, despite all the inflationary impacts that we can have from different sources, both the increase in the minimum wage that drives a number of our costs, but also industry-wide the agreement to increase the salaries of all employees by a certain amount, and this is recurring, we are able to maintain the same level of cost income over a long period of time. So most of the improvement in the future will come from the International Retail Banking Division. Page 17, one word about the capital. First, you need to know that we reported for the first time to the Central Bank our capital computation based on Basel III, and that was in June 2014. That computation is still in a transition period and will be fully loaded by 2019. You have on page 33 the most important impacts of this new computation. On the other hand, the RWA is still computed based on Basel II principles. And because we have seen a low growth of the RWA and still a very good ROE, we were able to improve our situation in terms of capital over the past year. We haven't reported yet officially the 2014 figure, so here it's a forecast based on public figures that we presented to you, which shows that our core Tier 1 ratio stands at 10% at the end of 2014, compared to a minimum of 9% currently, or even 8% if we're able to issue an additional Tier 1 instrument, and stands at 12.5% for the total capital ratio, compared to a minimum of 12% for the regulation. Now we can go to the contribution level. And first, on page 19, acknowledge the fact that most of the growth is coming from the capital market activities, and in particular, the bond trading that benefited from this very favorable movement in the yield curve. Also, another thing is that the 4% growth on the net fee income is not necessarily the long-term trend that we are seeing in our businesses. It is also the reflection that 2014 was again another year of cleaning up mostly of a number of dormant accounts and situations where the number of accounts needed to be closed and the number of billings had to be stopped in some situations. We will return to a more normal situation in 2015 with the biggest component of our net fees growing as a trend between 6 and 7%. This is the biggest item, and then the other items also have sometimes higher growth than this figure. And then also look at page 20 on the impact of this very different growth rate between the different components of our footprint. So the bank in Morocco now contributes 56% compared to 54%, and the insurance contribution has decreased to 7% from 9% previously, mostly because its contribution to net banking income is coming from see the equivalent of the technical results, and that there was more risks and claims on the non-life business in 2014. So on page 21 you have those different growth rates, with the bank in Morocco contribution growing by 13%, the international retail banking growing by 8%, and the insurance decreasing by 12%. You also have on page 22 the contributions in terms of net income group share, and we can go to page 23 and again acknowledge the fact that the bank in Morocco is really the driver of the growth, along with the insurance that had a non-recurring impact in 2013 that, if I remember well, accounted for 140 million dirhams in 2013. You can also see that the contribution of the international retail banking has decreased, mostly from a smaller or a low growth in net banking income, but also from a deterioration of the risk profile in that particular year, 2014. You have also the growth of the operating expenses, and you can see that in both in Morocco and internationally, we were able to contain the growth in operating expenses in an environment that was not particularly easy in terms of different elements weighing on our cost base. Now on page 25 you can see the contributions to the growth in the cost of risk, and it's interesting also to look at the absolute figures and realize that the increase in absolute terms is coming from Morocco and the international retail banking approximately at the same levels. So bear in mind that the proportions, of course, are very different, and that in the international retail banking, it is, and in Morocco, it is a situation that is clearly a departure from what we consider the more, I would say, normal levels of cost of risk. You have also on page 26 a split in terms of NPL and coverage ratio of the different contributions, and I will let you review them. You will notice that in Morocco, the movement has come much more from the increase in the coverage ratio than from the deterioration of the NPL situation. And then you have a list of contributors in decreasing order, both for the net banking income and for the net income group share. You have also on page 30, the long-term view on the share price and the relative performance to the stock exchange. And as you can notice, we have outperformed the index in all but 1 year over the past 5 years. The current valuations, or the valuations as of December 12, were given a price to book of approximately 2 times and a price earning of 16 times, which remains an attractive valuation compared to peers in the market. You can also take into account the proposal of the board to the General Assembly to raise the dividend from 9.5 dirhams a share to 10 dirhams a share, which implies a dividend yield of 3% in an environment where bonds, government bonds, are yielding 3.10% over 10 years in Morocco. So I finished with a quick review of the whole document, and maybe would like to open it up for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. As a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Sana Zaris of Old Mutual. Please go ahead.
Thank you. As I could see from the list of contributors to the net banking income, it seems as if the contribution of the subsidies, the international subsidies, has come down from 26% in 2013 to around 20%. Can you confirm that, or maybe just give me the contribution of the international subsidiaries in the net banking income for 2014?
Sure. You will find it directly on page 20, and it is still 26% in December 2014.
Thank you.
There is a very small perimeter impact, because in 2013 we only consolidated BIA Togo over one quarter versus a full year in 2014, but this is very minimal in terms of impact, so you can consider that the contribution has remained flat.
Okay, thank you. And if I may ask another question. If you've said that the net fee income is expected to grow by 6 to 7% in 2015, how about the growth of the interest income? And how if you've got a breakdown by like Morocco, non-Morocco?
Well, I didn't say that net fees would increase by 6%. What I said is that the most important contributor to the fees in Morocco is related to the accounts, to the client acquisition, and that trend is of 6 to 7%. And what I said also is that the other components tend to grow faster because we continue equipping new clients or existing clients with products. So we don't give very precise or more precise guidance than that, because we'd rather communicate once we book the figures. But the trend, the message behind that is that the net fee, as a consolidated level, the net fee are going to grow much faster than the 4% that we noticed in 2014. For the rest, I think it really depends on the loan growth, and in particular loan growth in Morocco. And there, maybe I'm inviting my colleagues if they want to jump in, but what we have seen is really a pickup in the growth rate of consumer loans, but also of mortgages to a lesser extent. So there we are confident that this movement is going to continue accelerating. Remember that the retail loans in Morocco were growing double digit only 3 years ago. So the acceleration is still being seen, and there is no reason to see a reversal of that. However, on the corporate loan side, we are not seeing a very strong demand. And that demand should only accelerate if we see a pickup in the private investment in Morocco. As we said earlier, a lot of industries have built up capacity early on and are on, in the opposite situation, rather waiting for clients to materialize. However, there is a number of potential investments. Among others, we see OCP, the phosphate company, continuing its massive industrial investment program. We also see the government being very, forward-looking in creating the right incentives for industrial investment around the big carriers, international carriers, that invested in Morocco in large industrial units, so either in automotive or aeronautics, etc. So the government is trying to push SMEs, Moroccan SMEs, to position as suppliers of those big international players and enhance the whole industrial investment. But beyond that, since the beginning of the year, we haven't seen a clear pickup of that particular demand on corporate loans.
Thank you.
I also have, I will translate for Mr. Bellage.
La baisse des prix des matières premières et puis l'effet, je dirais, de la caisse de compensation, puisqu'il y a des compensations, donc il n'y a plus de délai à supporter par les entreprises, surtout le secteur pétrolier.
Yeah, there is another pressure down on corporate loans, and it's coming from, one, the decrease in raw material prices, in commodity prices. So for the same volumes, we lend less for short-term, usually short-term import operations. And then the other factor is related to the fact that the subsidies have been dismantled in Morocco for everything except sugar and wheat. So this has created more liquidity also on the part of the distribution companies, the oil distribution companies, that used to borrow from banks in order to compensate for delays that the government was building up when they needed to pay the subsidies to the distributors. So there is some sort of a pressure down on the corporate lending environment.
But on the other hand, our margins in Morocco are expected to improve, mainly thanks to the to the decrease of our cost of funding. And this situation could be explained by the very important shift of the sovereign bond yield curve in 2014, which would be transmitted to the cost of funding in 2015. So we are expecting our cost of funding to improve by 15 to 20 basis points.
Thank you.
As a final reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. As there are no further questions in the phone queue, I would like to turn the call back to the speaker for any additional remarks.
Sorry, this is Elena, just from EFG Hermes. Just a question from me on the international banking operations, if I may.
Sure.
When I look at the return on assets of the international banking operations in 2014, it declined because of the high provisioning cost to 0.9% roughly. Can we expect that ratio to improve from the before 2014? It was around 1.2. If the cost-income ratio continues to improve, which kind of level of return on assets can we expect for the international banking operations in the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, I think when you look at page 35, you will see the levels of ROAs that we have posted on the international retail division, and maybe the 1.9% is on the high side in 2013, but clearly the 1.4% is on the low side. So this would be a bracket. Unfortunately, this is a bit more irregular and unpredictable than the ROA for the Moroccan business. But I think the return to a normal situation for international retail will be faster than in Morocco, where in Morocco, I would say the normal is probably between 1 and 1.2%. So the bracket is narrower, but movements are slower, basically.
Okay. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Sana Zaris of Old Mutual. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Could you please give me an idea on the capital adequacy level, the current capital adequacy level versus the requirement of the regulation? I know you've talked about it, but I didn't hear the number. Thank you.
Okay. So I direct you, I don't know if you have the documents in front of you,
yeah,
but
I direct
you to page, let me give you, 17.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can see the growth of the RWA, and you can see the core tier 1 ratio. The first half 2014 is reported and accepted by the central bank, and the 2014 forecast is based on public figures that we released and will be reported to the central bank and made public by the end of March. The minimum requirement for core tier 1 is currently at 9%, or even lower than that, 8%, if we are able to issue an additional tier 1 instrument to compensate for the difference between 9 and 8. And then the minimum required for total capital ratio is 12%, and as you can see, at the end of 2014, we stood at 12.5.
Thank you.
We will take our next question from Gaetan Hendrik of Sustainable Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for organizing the call. I have two questions regarding your exposure to the real estate market, both at corporate and at let's say retail level. And how do you see the let's say credit quality evolving, as we have seen let's say interesting results from those companies? And and then in terms of loan growth, you mentioned there is a small pickup in credit on that front, and how do you match that with the actual real estate market, and how much could it lead you to increase your credit in Morocco in the retail space?
Could you repeat the last sentence? We didn't get it.
Basically, how, let's say, real estate credit can pick up. Based on, you mentioned there is a pickup in consumer credit, but also some pickup in real estate, I guess, retail credit. So I was wondering how much is there, recovery, and I'm just trying to link that with the actual evolution of the real estate market in, based on public statistics from the ministry.
I'm not sure I totally understood, but basically you're asking questions about both the volume growth in 2015, the forecast, and you're asking questions about the evolution of risk in those areas. Cost of risk,
yeah,
right?
Risk at corporate level, your exposure to corporates that are active in real estate, and how do you manage that? And at retail level, that's the risk side. And then in terms of loan growth, how much could it contribute to your loan book?
Okay. So I will then address the situations in terms of risk management and risk policy. For the real estate part, we have always financed projects that had a macroeconomic sense, meaning housing for the first house that people will buy, usually in cities. Very little exposure to tourism or to leisure secondary houses. So that lowers the overall, I would say, exposure to the riskiest part of the development. Second big policy is that we always finance projects and never finance balance sheets of developers. So when we do that, we impose a number of conditions on how we will get paid back on the loans when the houses are ready and sold to the buyers. Third thing is that we build a lot of synergies between the development and the mortgage market, whereby our mortgage subsidiary, Wafa Immobilier, is present very often on the site of the corporate developers and offers very good service to buyers of apartments, whether they are clients of a Tijari Wafa bank or of other banks. So that also helps transform the developer's risk into a longer-term, lower kind of risk coming from the buyers, because then we extend the loans, the mortgage loans, only to people with a salary and with a certain maximum in terms of their reimbursement compared to their salary. So in a sense, the biggest risks that we are taking are related to layoffs, if people lose their jobs. And even then, we have the mortgage, and we usually repossess the goods, and it's automatically and quite rapidly, and we end up selling it after a few years. This is not the outcome that we're looking for, obviously, but this is how the whole real estate exposure is managed. In terms of figures, the mortgage loans that we bear are 43 billion dirhams, and the developers' loans that we had at the end of 2014 is 13 billion dirhams. Now, for the retail, so as a total for developers,
In terms of NPL in those two areas, you don't see any deterioration?
No, we haven't seen a particular deterioration for mortgage. We have seen some deterioration in some developers because they are selling slower. The flow of finished apartments is slower than before. But nothing dramatic and quite fragmented, I would say, separate small projects rather than, you know, a big exposure somewhere. Now, for the retail part, I described the biggest part of the retail, which is mortgages. It's two-thirds of our retail lending business. And then you have the consumer credit. There, we have a very, I would say, statistical-based approach and very industrial, because all the loans that we give out are either manufactured by Wafa Salaf and born in terms of balance sheet by Atijari Wafa Bank, or totally managed and financed by Wafa Salaf. In both cases, we have the know-how that has been developed over the past 25 years by Wafa Salaf, which is a joint venture with Sofinco of France, and has developed its own scoring systems that allow us to react immediately. As soon as we see a situation in terms of late payments, we adjust our scoring so that we kind of steer a little bit the cost of risk, depending on the cost of funding, depending on the cost of equity, and so that the whole equation is quite stable and predictable. Now, for the growth, I think I commented a little bit about that. We are seeing, for the retail part in Morocco, a growth rate of high single digits and accelerating. For the corporate, we are much more cautious. There should be a pickup, but it should come probably in the second half rather than in the first half, because so far this year, you can say that it's flat. I mean, maybe it's growing with inflation, which is approximately 1%, and we only see renewals of very short-term loans by large corporates.
Thank you.
We will now take a follow-up question from Sana Zaris of Old Mutual. Please go ahead.
Thank you. We've been talking about loans and their growth, but can you give guidance on the deposits growth in 2016? I mean, like, how much do you expect from deposits? I know that it has been picking up and it's grown by about 7%. Between 2013 and 2014. So what is the outlook for this year?
I think it's directly linked to the loan growth and to the assumptions that you are going to make on the current account. We are seeing rather positive signs on the export aspects and really, you know, long-term trends being implemented or being really noticed on the external accounts. On the import, I think it's a bit early to really say, because it depends if there will be a bounce back of the oil prices, as we have started to see in the past few weeks. And it depends on the pickup in consumption, domestic consumption. Domestic consumption has reached an all-time low last year. It is picking up progressively with consumer confidence coming back. So I think the safest assumption is to say that it will grow in line with credits, with loans. So in the, you know, mid to high single digits.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take a follow-up question from Gaetan Herinx of Sustainable Capital. Please go ahead.
One last question regarding your international operation. I was wondering what type of loan-to-deposit ratio you currently have and what is your target long-term?
I don't have it ready here. It's readily available in our accounts. It's approximately maybe 70 or 80% outside of Morocco, from the top of my mind. But
and where do you want to go?
There is clearly no target, in the sense that we steer our liquidity based on models of. I'll say écoulement of you know, the maturity of the assets and the liabilities. We avoid taking unnecessary liquidity, and in many cases you will see that our loan to deposit is low in sub-Saharan Africa because there are regulatory constraints, very rigid regulatory constraints about the transformation of maturities. So we sometimes have to go buy long-term deposits just because we produced a loan, whereas we're very liquid with very stable resources that are, you know, checking and current accounts that are, by nature, very stable. So there is clearly no particular target. And the ratio is?
The ratio is 105% in Morocco, 100% in Tunisia, 80% in Western Africa and 60% in Sub-Saharan Central Africa.
Did you get it?
Yeah, the first one I didn't get it. You said it's Tunisia 100?
105 in Morocco, 100 in Tunisia, 80 in West Africa, 60 in Central Africa.
And just to make sure, here it's loan to deposit or it's deposit to loan?
No, it's loan to deposit.
Okay, great.
There are no further questions in the phone queue at this time. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the call back to the speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
So I hope we were clear. I think I renew the fact that we have a dedicated team for investor relations headed by Ibtissam Abouharia, whom you probably know. She is sending you all the updates. We are also totally revamping our investor relation website, and you will have a new website soon, and you will be informed about that, where we will put all the documents, both recent and older documents. So any additional questions you may have will be handled by her and channeled to the relevant people in the organization. I would like to thank all of you for your attention. And again, thank you for the time that you've given to us and to Tijeri Bofda. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.